sick to death of hearing things from neurotic psychotic short-sighted politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give us the truth. I'm sick to death of reading things by stupid little punk rockers. All I want is the truth. Just give us the truth.
Okay, we're back right here on 9/11 and Empire Radio. This is your host, Kevin Barrett, and we are looking for the truth, no matter where it may lead, even into outrageous conspiracy theories. Well, what happened on 9/11, you can't really talk about it unless you entertain outrageous conspiracy theories, and tonight we're entertaining some of the more outrageous ones, theories so outrageous that even the most conspiracy theorists blanch in horror, and sometimes even faint. But I think it's worth talking about this because, well, number one, I've looked into it enough to think that there may very well be something to it, and secondly, I think it's silly to be ostracizing anybody who's presenting a well researched, thought out, and coherent argument, at least you know on the surface. And you know, we're going to have a conference in Madison to try and hash this stuff out. It's called The Science of 9/11. What's controversial and what's not? It's happening on the 3rd to 5th of August. Maureen Reynolds and Rick Ryder will be there. And if anybody listening wants to come, you can register by going to 911scholars.org. Okay, guys, we're back for another hour of discussing the big picture with 9/11. And, you know, one point of view I hear pretty often. I've heard it from a guy who's been on my show a couple times recently, Rolf Lindgren. He's been writing some press releases for the Scholars for 9/11 Truth Group, and he really wants to hammer on Building 7 for a couple of reasons. One is that it's so clear and straightforward for the newbies, and after all, we're really trying to reach the unconverted, aren't we? And then number two, we all agree on it, so we don't have to be at each other's throats all the time. So, you know, do you think it would be a good idea to be doing more PR aimed at the unwashed masses and focusing on things like Building 7?
Well, I'm reminded of the University of Wisconsin, which we have in common, Kevin.
Oh yeah, we both have 3 degrees from there, which puts us both 3 up on Dick Cheney, the draft dodging dropout.
But what you're saying reminds me of the education / research function of professors, and of course most professors have tried to completely shirk their duties in the classroom or dealing with students and stick to research and maybe have a couple of PhD dissertation students, but you're pulling at the other end of the string and saying, oh, no, we ought to be all about education and a little research. Well, that you can't make these across-the-board recommendations, especially for we of the unpaid research class. Some of us are just going to pursue this, and, hey, I will, of course, respond to invitations and the like, and do outreach, but that's not my main thing. My main thing is to investigate and write, and you just can't suppress that. Some of us are pretty good at it, and that's the way we're built. Other people are more outreach and activists and the like.
Well, you know, I think you do a pretty good job in your published stuff, in particular the article, Some Holes in the Plane Stories, published in the 9/11 Conspiracy. I find that a good, succinct summary of what mostly is pretty well proven up evidence that most folks are going to accept. That's, you know, it's a good combination of some, you know, research and also education. But, you know, I can see why there are 9/11 truth activists who are just driven crazy by the situation, Morgan, because, you know, you had that high position in the Bush administration. You have really good credentials. And, you know, so that means that, you know, the good news for them, for the activists, is the good news is we've got, you know, this guy with these amazing credentials, Maureen Reynolds, on our side. And the bad news is all he wants to talk about is no planes. And you
well,
can see
hey, guess what? You can't control me. I'm my own guy. And if I hadn't gotten anywhere in the straight world, the mainstream, tough. You know, that's Morgan for you. And this whole business about kind of appealing to put it in a negative way, the lowest common denominator, I'm not trying to reach out in a way that won't inconvenience anybody. If a truth is inconvenient, you should find a way, or I should and others, to make it more convenient. Let's not suppress it. People are I have a lot more confidence in people than many of our so-called 9/11 truthers who want to say, if this turns out to be true, A.K. Dewdney, who I have no respect for anymore, basically says, hey, if I knew what you knew and it were true, I still wouldn't bring that out. I would still suppress it. I would still advise a researcher scientist, if you went on Fox News Channel, as I did, and somebody asked you about it, that you either have to say, what, no comment? Or you have to lie about it. I'm not going to lie about it.
You could just say, well, let's talk about Building 7.
Yeah, right. Let's go back. And actually, you know, in that 3.5-minute clip, I did go back to the safer ground of Building 7. Now, Building 7 even hasn't had a really thorough analysis. There's something at work there that is unconventional, Kevin, because there has never – that's the tallest building, if you want to call it a conventional demolition, that has ever been dropped, first of all. You know, the Hudson Department story, over 40 stories, was the previous record. I think it was 39 or 40 stories. And this thing was so plumb, Kevin. Of course, we have these three video angles on it. It was just unbelievably, unearthly, you know, supernatural plumb how that thing fell. By contrast, there was that Landmark Hotel about a year ago. In time, that was a pretty close comparison. There's a little bit of tilt. You know, how perfect can you be? And then the debris pile. It's so neat. You know, on Judy's website, we have this photo from the North Tower, and you look down, and then where it's in good health, Building 7. And then we have the collapsed Building 7 from a similar view above. And the thing almost doesn't cover the roadway on either side. It is that neat an implosion. There is no visible impact whatever on the adjoining postal building or so-called federal building. You could have driven around Building 7 debris pile certainly with a Jeep Wrangler, you know, a four-wheel drive. It was that neat.
Yeah, that certainly does make you wonder. And it certainly indicates that the people that did this were fairly proficient at demolition. You know, whoever scripted this wasn't very proficient at doing it realistically enough to convince anybody with their eyes open.
Yeah.
But the technicians were good.
And we've made a lot of progress in reaching the American public without much, if any, mainstream help. Because polls show it, right? There are certainly 4 out of 10 Americans who doubt the official 9/11 story, and about half of those are hardcore. That is, people who will say, "Yeah, 9/11 was an inside job."
Right, and so we are making that kind of progress. And you know, the activists are still, you know, a lot of activists are saying we need to focus on the things we all agree on, and so on. But personally, you know, I don't find the stuff that you guys are saying and that Judy is saying to be particularly, you know, wildly improbable, you know, because we all pretty much have to agree at this point that the planes at the World Trade Center were distractions, that they served the purpose of creating a scapegoat or a purported explanation.
Well, but that was key, right. Of course. Right.
Right. Right. So whatever, you know, so you don't need the whole story of the hijackings and so on has been proven to be false. The cell phone calls and the, you know, nobody on a flight manifest and on and on and on. So it's very clear that we're not dealing with an actual hijacking story, that the planes were simply part of a ruse. And that means that, you know, your idea of this ruse being created by other means than actually flying a big Boeing into the towers is not all that outrageous. Likewise, with the alternative demolition theories, I don't, you know, since we know the military did this and used whatever they have, there's no reason to think that they wouldn't have used some stuff that isn't, you know, obvious. So, there's nothing really wild and crazy about.
Well, then why are people so agitated about Morgan, Rick, and Judy?
You know, I think it's a big psychological thing that, you know, a lot of 9/11 truth people just get tired of being insulted and called crazy and, you know, wild-eyed conspiracy theorist kind of thing. And they get tired of that. And then they, you know, they see these ideas that look wild and crazy to them. And then they blame you for the fact that they're being called wild and crazy by their more conventional friends.
That I'm bringing them into disrepute.
Exactly.
You know, the Rick was pointing out earlier that the demolition was a taboo proposition up until the summer of 05. And we're at that point on No Planes where there is a solid core. It's growing. There's a lot of video fakery documentation, and the physics have been proven up that the official story, the silhouette of passage, you know, this roadrunner type, this is not the way collisions occur. And a plane blending in or gliding in and into a building as if it were warm butter and all that, it's just absolute nonsense. You know, I can't swallow that, even if it's for the sake of the movement. I can't lie for the truth, you know, as it were.
So one more question that always comes up, of course, is that, you know, you have these people who, you know, who like to, you know, instantly get paranoid and think that anybody putting out anything that is, you know, seems dubious or wild and improbable must be an agent. And I was, you know, bent on spreading dissent in the community kind of thing. And in fact, you know, Morgan, you're obviously not a terribly, you know, prickly personality compared to these other people. But my point here would be that so many of these people associated with the No Plane idea seem to be, shall we say, just very, very, very prickly personalities. People who just spam you and insult everybody and rant and rave and, you know, can't carry on a lucid conversation, can't write a lucid essay, you know, and you're the obvious exception here, Morgan. You've written good essays. You can carry on a good conversation. You're a reasonably friendly guy. But what are all these other no-planers are complete, you know, nut jobs. What's going on with them?
There's truth to what you say, but, you know, I think part of it is battle fatigue. You know, they've fought uphill for so many years. I'm a little one of the fresher troops, but also by training and career, I'm used to having the person in the next office not share many of my beliefs or opinions. Right? You know, this is the usual live and let live. Now, maybe I'm a little bit too tolerant, so to speak, but I'm like you in that sense that I'm not agitated when somebody appears to speak a non-truth. I'm not. I'm doing my own thing. I'm putting that out. Now, ultimately, as in the case of Professor Jones, I see there's a problem. I have a problem with him, and he's gotten so influential. I'm going to have to take out his work because it's not valid. So I'm not saying I'm completely sanguine about some of my colleagues in the movement, but
I think that's where, you know, I have to disagree with some of your remarks on that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
What's your take on this?
Which particular aspect?
Well, we're talking about the incivility and the friction.
Okay, sure. I agree with Morgan in the sense that, I mean, look, if you look at, like, Webfury, being the original no-planer, the Neverland will kind of agree with that. I mean, she had to basically spend a year basically getting smashed in forums and ridiculed and screamed at all these people. So, these people are already been attacked for so many years that, and their only defense is basically attacking backs. And, you know, also like Nico, who's, you know, always called this info, and at every turn he's an op or he's an agent, and, you know, he's done some of the best research out there. So, you know, it's really tough because to actually put forth this information on forums, like I've also been on forums like, you know, the 9/11 blogger, the Loose Change, or whatever the popular forums are out there, and it's just amazing how much crap you have to deal with because you would present evidence or analysis and someone will just say, you're wrong. and then they'll call you names and tell you why you're wrong and call you all sorts of things. And, And then they'll put you on red herrings. Like, I had a fight with a lot of this guy Carl Weiss a lot, and just, you know, they'll like, give you pages and pages of questions and all stuff, and you'll answer them meticulously, and then they'll still just say you're wrong. And it's just, it just gets extremely tired. And so finally, some of these people will just say, you're just wasting my time, my energy, you're pissing me off, and then they just go off.
I don't condone that,
but I can understand why it happens. So, you know.
Well, you know, I think it's very, very unfortunate for, you know, for the no plane cause, because it's, you know, so many of us just assume that there's a problem with that idea because our email boxes are getting spammed by people ranting and raving all the time. You know, I guess I wasn't there at the beginning when people like Nico were, you know, doing that early research and Holmgren, you know, I came on a little later, and I know those guys feel bad that, you know, that those of us who came later got more glory than they did or something, but I've just never really seen the lucid arguments from anybody in this camp, except, you know, maybe Morgan, you're the most, you know, calm and lucid person out there, which is, I guess,
well,
that's saying something.
Yeah. everybody's skills are not the same. For example, Web Fairy educated herself on videos and has made some fine contributions, but she's not going to write a long essay, et cetera, making all the points in the patient scholarly way that I'm capable of, let's say. But if you want to talk about somebody who's lucid, until recently, Gerard Holmgren, the Sydney, Australian musician, there's nobody more lucid. I mean, he's a debater extraordinaire. And
really?
He's made some good contributions, but lamentably, he's lost it, at least temporarily, in my opinion.
Okay, well, we're going to have to lose it temporarily here, too, because we're going into a break. But we will return. Stay tuned.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Hey, Jack Blood here from Deadline Live with an urgent message regarding Ed and Elaine Brown and their brave stand against the IRS. WTPRN.com and GCNLive.com join together to organize and promote the Live Free or Die concert on Saturday, July 14th in Plainfield, New Hampshire. Aside from a day of great music from bands like Poker Face, Dave Von Kleist, Blue Eyed Fools, Paperback Radio, and many more, the true purpose of this event is to come to the defense of Ed and Elaine Brown. Friends, we're also in need of donations to cover costs of staging this historic event. Ed and Elaine Brown have put their lives on the line to stand up to the IRS's tyranny, so please give generously to help this concert become a success. Join me, Randy Weaver, and more surprise guests on July 14th to become part of this effort to defend the Browns, as it is literally a matter of life and death. Again, go to WTPRN.com or GCNLive.com and click on the Live Free or Die banner for all the information. I hope to see you there.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
It's time to think outside the box with your host, Alex Angeri, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Central every Saturday right here on We the People Radio Network.
Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden.
Giving you the facts. Osama bin Laden. What y'all really know about Osama? FBI most wanted. America's most wanted. The world's most wanted. But what do you really know? All you know is what they put on TV. Put on the news.
Let's talk about the world most hated Bin Laden and terrorists, man.
Okay, let's talk about the truth and the search for the truth and the fact that sometimes you have to pursue the truth no matter where it leads, even if it makes you look like a crazy person, which is pretty much where just about all of us in the 9/11 truth movement have found ourselves at one point or another, surrounded by sheeple who just don't get it and don't want to get it. And even within our community, we have folks out there who appear to be to the rest of the 9/11 truth movement, sort of what the 9/11 truth movement is to the sheeple. That is folks like Morgan Reynolds and Rick Reiter, who are pursuing the cutting edge of research into the mysterious aspects of the plane stories on 9/11. And, you know, I guess I'm at a point, guys, where it's so obvious that these were demolitions that were part of a psyop to scare the pants off the people, bring in the post 9/11 world with its wars and its shredding the Constitution. This is all pretty obvious. The whole thing was built around that, those great images of the buildings being blown to bits with people inside them. Horrific footage, Hollywood-style spectacular. You know, that's all pretty clear. The question of exactly how the plane the distractions were set up is, to me, kind of peripheral. It's important to prove that the official story is false, and I think we've done that, seven ways from Sunday, but as far as having to, you know, get really, precise about it. And, you know, is it really that important whether Dave Von Kleist is right and something with a pod flew into the World Trade Center, or you guys are right and perhaps nothing did, or, it was all video illusion and explosives planted in the shape of a cutout of a plane? I mean, what's the difference? You know, why is it important?
Well, are you interested in justice, Kevin?
Of course.
Well, then you've got to convict perpetrators, the real perpetrators. And to do so, you've got to prove with valid evidence. You can't go in there with contaminated stories. And so it's like I said earlier, it's a double jeopardy issue. And now the truth, of course, is important on its own. For example, it's important to convict by the bar of history, which I think we, as you pointed out, we've in a sense already accomplished to most people's satisfaction in the 9/11 truth movement. But to me, it's frustrating to hear you say this as a Muslim, because, as you know, they need the plane story to have Arab hijackers. If there are no commercial planes and certainly no planes, their whole world domination and the war on the Muslim world project collapses. The whole pretext that we were attacked by these dastardly foreigners in a Pearl Harbor-type stink attack, it's absolute rubbish. Now, I put it to you, how can this story stay glued together this long, right? I mean, on its face, I thought we would be further along at this point, being the hopeless romantic optimist that I am. But their story, as you pointed out, is so lame. It's so farcical. Remember a year ago in June, it was brought out that the FBI had no hard evidence to want on the number one of the most wanted list, OBL, for the attacks of 9/11. In other words, they don't have anything on them in truth. You know, it's just so lame. And the American public, are they stupid, disinterested, head in the sand, willfully ignorant?
All of the above.
well, Kevin, also, if you just stop at controlled demolition, you say, okay, controlled demolition is enough. We go to court. We can arrest all the perps, yada, yada.
Well, yeah, you still got the fake planes. I mean, either way, whether the planes are actual planes or literally fake planes, they're a distraction because you know that they would have had to make sure those planes hit. Therefore, it could not have been hijackers. We know it wasn't hijackers.
Kevin, what you gained by TV fakery and no planes is media complicity. So
we know that already.
Well, not to the degree as what you can gain, because then you actually have people who are deep within doing all this stuff. But, you know, you could just have useful idiots otherwise. They're just kind of like, you know, dum-de-dum, oh, it's Osama, you know, all that type of stuff. But if they actually did went through a TV fakery, there has to be actual people inside doing all the stuff. There's no accident at that point.
Right, but see, we know that the intelligence agencies infiltrate the media, so we know that some of the people in the media and key nodes are actually working for these rogue networks and intelligence agencies. We already know that. You know, we've known about Project Mockingbird for decades.
But now we have proof.
Back up. How did we all come to know it was demolition and therefore an inside job?
Because crazy people like you were out there telling us.
Exactly. And we're going to do the same thing on no planes. Now, the no planes thing is actually more important, I would argue, than the method of the it's kind of a close 1-2, but I would rank no planes number one for the very reason Rick is pointing to, and that is the control of the mass media, the corporate media. You know, all you need is basically 10 corporations. They are the enforcement arm, as Joseph Keith puts it, another no-planer. They are the enforcement arm of the powers that be. That's the way they control the world. And when we point out, the people are going to be terribly disappointed to find out that pretty Katie Couric and trustworthy Charles Gibson and the lot of them are in on it, telling them lies and using fake stuff. It's about as real as the national flag below the speed skaters in the Olympics, you know.
That's the first 10 line. You know, the other question that comes up when we talk about the TV fakery and stuff, and I have to admit I've seen images that seem to support some of the arguments that have been made for TV fakery, the arguments that these videos are fake that you've made, Morgan. Mm-hmm. There definitely are some images that that seem to indicate that.
But Every one of them.
the question that arises then is, okay, so we've got some fake video or some video that's been tweaked or is fake or something. You know, it's not the original pristine authentic footage of an actual big Boeing going into the tower. Okay, so we've got that footage, but that doesn't necessarily tell us where that footage came from, you know.
There are nearly 40 of these videos that purport to portray some part of the WTC.
And do we have a good chain of evidence on them?
Hmm?
Do we have a good chain of evidence?
No, we don't, usually. Right. You know, to have any one of these videos that are on the Internet admitted into a court of law as evidence, you have to have, number one, the photographer who will testify under oath and under hostile cross-examination. You have to have the chain of custody for these pixels that are depicted on the screen. And number three, reassurance or proof, if you will, of non-manipulation.
That's going to be a hard one, huh?
It's going to be real hard. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like the Not A Brothers, you know. Oh, I see some stuff up there. Listen, I just discovered this last week or weekend when I was looking at real plane crashes. You know, for example, they have an Air France Boeing 737 go off into the woods, and the a B-52 bomber in 1994 go into the ground when it was rehearsing tricks for an air show. And it's remarkable how black and charcoal the smoke is. Of course, you see the fireballs as well. Compared to both tower hits, it's very much white and gray. It's not like a real airliner crash.
Interesting, and we'll pick this up to talk about real versus fake images in just a sec.
Hey, Jack Blood here from Deadline Live with an urgent message regarding Ed and Elaine Brown and their brave stand against the IRS. WTPRN.com and GCNLive.com join together to organize and promote the Live Free or Die concert on Saturday, July 14th in Plainfield, New Hampshire. Aside from a day of great music from bands like Poker Face, Dave Von Kleist, Blue Eyed Fools, Paperback Radio, and many more, the true purpose of this event is to come to the defense of Ed and Elaine Brown. Friends, we're also in need of donations to cover costs of staging this historic event. Ed and Elaine Brown have put their lives on the line to stand up to the IRS's tyranny, so please give generously to help this concert become a success. Join me, Randy Weaver, and more surprise guests on July 14th to become part of this effort to defend the Browns, as it is literally a matter of life and death. Again, go to WTPRN.com or GCNLive.com and click on the Live Free or Die banner for all the information. I hope to see you there.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hey, Jack Blood here, host of Deadline Live. I wanted to share with you my secret weapon in fighting the New World Order. It's a new product called Enerfood. Enerfood is bar none the best health supplement I've tried, and I've tried them all. With many ingredients like spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, barley, grass, alfalfa leaf, beetroot, orange peel, winter cherry root, it really is nothing less than superfood. I couldn't imagine having to shop and prepare all of these ingredients, but now I don't have to. Enerfood's done it for me. A simple scoop of powder every day is all it takes. No fillers, no miracle claims, no magic bullets. Just a real product with real results. Call them today and mention Jack Blood and get a special discount. Get the two-pack special with the coconut oil powder. Call them now, 1-866-762-9238. 1-866-762-9238. Or simply go to enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, enerfood.com. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If you fool me, you can't get fooled again.
Okay, we're back here on 9/11 and Empire Radio. This is your host, Kevin Barrett, talking to Morgan Reynolds and Rick Ryder about some of the cutting-edge, controversial 9/11 research that they've done. Our call-in number here is toll-free 888-202-1984. That's 888-202-1984. Or if you have unlimited long distance, you can save the good We the People a few bucks by calling 512-646-1984. That's 512-646-1984. All right, guys. Well, so, Rick, how did you get involved in writing articles with Morgan Reynolds and analyzing some of the physical evidence on 9/11?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. I actually met Morgan for the first time shortly after his 2005 article at a 9/11 Truth Convergence thing sponsored by 9/11truth.org down in front of D.C. And that was at the time when, again, you couldn't really talk about controlled demolition and all that stuff. And then I found out Morgan was an economist. I happened to support the Liberty Dollar. I introduced him to that, you know, got his card. And then, like, 3 months later, I was like, hey, I'm an engineer. You're probably writing some more articles. If you ever need some analysis done, you know, drop me an email. And sure enough, the next day, he said, hey, can you look at how a plane would attack a building? And initially, I was like, oh, crap. Morgan Reynolds is a no-planer. And I was going to prove him wrong by doing some calculations for him and show him why all this video stuff is just nothing. You're looking for, you know, in the wrong places. Just go back to demolition and the other stuff or whatever. So, and then after a while, I went to like places like Web Furry's site and downloaded a lot of the videos, and I kept watching and watching and watching. And, you know, it just something just didn't sit right. And I just started like doing a little bit of analysis, like what I would expect, how the torque should be, how the slowdown should be, and all this stuff. And it just didn't make any sense. Plus, there's some videos where wings just disappear, you know, and these planes, like, blob in the air. And it's just, yeah, it's just very, very weird stuff. So I slowly came to be, quote-unquote, a no-planer.
And the question would come up then, okay, so we've seen these videos that have problems. You know, Morgan says they all have problems. I've seen a couple that seem to very clearly have problems. Now, does the existence of some or all videos of the North Tower hit, I'm sorry, the second hit, the South Tower hit, that have problems, does that really prove that there wasn't a plane crash? And the corollary question to that is, you know, how would these perps know that nobody would get that second crash with their handy cam? Because everybody's down there pointing their cameras at the towers at that point, so you think that would be pretty high risk.
Well, the physics prove it for me, Kevin. I don't care what any video shows or does not show. In other words, for example, there's no plane debris in the gashes in the towers. There's none. There's no evidence of any debris below the impact hull. An aluminum plane can't stand up to this kind of strength, you know, and a heavyweight steel tower. In other words, if you repeal Newton's three laws of motion, yeah, then you can get this silhouette of passage and the other rubbish. I can remember at the time actually asking me myself, I said, is this what an aluminum plane would actually do? And you know how you look around and you just say, well, nobody else is challenging it. Gee, I guess I'm wrong. I can remember that very morning going to a neighbor's office there at the Labor Department, which is exactly two blocks from Capitol Hill. So I could have been in the line of fire conceivably, right, if they were going to hit the Capitol building. And I looked up at this building, the tower, with a smudge pot really going, this black smoke, and I said, that building will not fall. And then I spent the rest of the morning scrambling back to my apartment, and I didn't have a TV, so I wasn't psyoped, but I learned, gee whiz, how wrong could I be, you know? And I just put it on the back shelf and spent my 16 months at the U.S. Department of Labor. It wasn't until I left that I really started thinking about this, and the key was the invasion of Iraq on March 20, 2003, and I said, well, everybody in town, meaning Washington, D.C., who's anybody, really knows this is all a bunch of lies, and I said, gee, if they actually go halfway around the world, invade another country that poses no threat whatever to the United States, if they lie about that, what else would they lie about? Uh-oh. That's when I first started investigating 9/11 and writing a little bit on it. So,
well, that was what got me really suspicious. You know, when that Iraq invasion went ahead and happened, is I thought that was, you know, it was all going to get headed off. It was just sort of a threat. Turned out it was all set in stone. And so when that happened, I did start to really scratch my head about 9/11, but I didn't really get into the you know, looking hard at it for another what, year after that, I guess, or half year. But, yeah, he's at this Madison conference, you know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, we have an opportunity to get some media coverage, and yet there's, of course, the, you know, the more conventional and timid of the 9/11 truth people are going to be very unhappy, and they're going to, you know, have even more reasons to be upset with us if the media coverage out of this Madison conference focuses in a kind of a circusy way on, you know, on these seemingly, you know, bizarre, improbable ideas, even as true as they may be. How do you think we should try to convey this kind of material to the media?
Well, I don't hold much confidence in the media ever really getting any serious access. That's not the way it's going to happen. It's going to happen inch by inch, the way it's been going. Once somebody turns, they never turn back. They know. And in a sense, you're right that it's details or, you know, and we're turning up stuff every month. So, but they know their own government or sections of their own government, and no doubt the powers that be, the more permanent powers behind it, they did it. They murdered 3,000 plus, and it's completely intolerable to just turn away and hope somehow it'll be better. I mean, they've been escalating this thing. You know, the Oklahoma City bombing, Dr. Judy Wood on her website shows you the interior, an interior view of WTC Building 6. And then next to it, the Murrah Building before they demoed the rest, the other half of it. And it just looks exactly like the interior. In other words, they're just like these circular cuts out of the building. So maybe that's a little bit, but the point is they have been, the hubris is going to bring them down. They keep on stepping it up every time.
And Kevin, you got to realize that even if you stay within the bounds and talk about WTC7, the media is still going to trash talk you and talk down upon you and call you crazy anyway. So,
right, but you just hope somebody's going to Google WTC7 when they see that. You know, that's the experience I've had is that you know, they're. Some of the audience is actually going to get on the internet and Google this stuff. And if the first thing they Google is WTC7, that might actually work better than if they Google no plane.
But, I mean, you can't help but stumble upon it all.
Right. And I went out to Seattle, and I got people who were bound to be offended or upset anyway. In other words, or Rick knows my National Press Club talk where, yeah, I open with the Bill. First of all, you show that the official story can't hold any water at all. And then you show, okay, well, look at Building 7, Buildings 1 and 2, and Pentagon. Okay, people are good with the Pentagon. Even Shanksville, you know, this absurd little hole, 20 feet by 10 feet by 6 feet deep and not an airplane part in it, that's absurd.
It is.
And then you go to the, now we're on taboo ground. This is when people start squirming, you know. And hey, I'm going to prove to you there was no plane crash into either building, okay? Yeah, but millions saw it on TV, and, you know, yeah. Right. You know, yeah, we've seen Tom and Jerry cartoons, et cetera. We've seen stuff. People are just, how can they be this unsophisticated? They see stuff like here it comes to mind, the Ford Edge, their new crossover SUV, and they show the car running alongside the building, you know, on two wheels out in space. Well, we know this is dumb, right? We know this is an ad. Or there's a GMC pickup ad where the pickup goes vertical up the building and then down the building, and you're really cool. Well, okay, we know that's an ad, that's a special effect. But how can people believe, be this trustworthy, that if Charles Gibson tells you, oh, yeah, this is really true, and not question it?
Right. Good point.
Times are tough right now, but there are a lot of different ways to get ourselves out of this mess. Providing for our own food, water, and power are a good start. As you may have heard by now, Ken Solar has been configuring alternative energy packages for over a decade. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar-powered generator. For a lot less than you'd expect, this portable system can chop up nearly a third of your electric bill. Getting yourself onto solar power is one of the most liberating things you can do for yourself and your family. The solar-powered generator will run your lights, fan, electric blanket, your refrigerator, and a whole slew of household items. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos and how-tos, and of course the new solar-powered generator. Enter the GCN coupon code during your order and save an additional 10%. Get a solar-powered generator now from kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Lighting the fires of liberty with your host, Michael Badnarik, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday, only on We the People Radio Network.
We know the official story is impossible, so we set about scientifically to come up with a hypothesis and then to test that.
All right, we're just searching for the truth, because so far we've been truthless.
All right, we're back on 9/11 and Empire Radio. This is your host, Kevin Barrett. I'm talking with Morgan Reynolds and Rick Ryder. And where were we there, Morgan, when you got cut off so rudely?
Gee whiz. hey, well, let's go to this. Let me play victim for a change.
oh, poor little Morgan. Okay, so yeah. Tell me about
it. Steve Jones does this so well with his little choir boy act, and you're sticking up for us. I give you credit in that you're willing to discuss this issue of planes, no planes, or extraordinary unconventional weapons might have been used at the World Trade Center. Are you going to stand up for us now, Kevin, when the truth movement's trying to stone us? This is
I will. I'll stand up for your right to do your research and to
okay.
and to join the discussion. And that's why I'm going to be in Madison. But I have to tell you that in the Madison conference, I'm going to be the designated defender of Steve Jones because nobody else is coming there to take that position.
Okay. Well, I wish Dr. Jones would be there.
Well,
I would love
to
have him in a debate with Judy Wood and myself, or however. I would love that. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Well, it may or may not. But you know, the thing is, Morgan, Steve has probably been, more collegial than the people who've been giving him a hard time, or most of them anyway. So, and he's, you know, he has, you know, taken it on the chin from some, you know, from some whack out people as well as from the, you know, the more, somewhat sensible folks like yourself. And I think, you know, he's kind of, tired of the fierce battle in the public arena kind of thing. So I don't really blame him that much for not coming. I wish he would. But I think somebody, you know, needs to try to present his position just to see how it, you know, how it bounces off the other positions there. And I actually think that, you know, he's not.
Well, I don't know if he's really tired of this, we'll call it infighting. But if you look at his journal, Kevin, there's a remarkable percentage in the neighborhood of roughly half that are what I would call hit pieces on the Dew and Judy Wood, or the Andor Morgan and the no plane issue. It's like he's going out and, in a sense, commissioning these things. If either of these propositions were so silly and meritless, why spend all these resources on supposedly hitting it up real good when, you know, hey, I can't find anything really of merit going on over there?
Well,
so, yeah,
the thought would be to try to critique it. I mean, that's theoretically what should be done in an academic journal, would be for people to present their conflicting views in the form of mutual critiques to try to get at the truth.
You know,
and how
like
well they're
higher,
doing that is perhaps debatable.
It's like a higher brow version of what goes on in these forums where nobody does any research, but they're very upset about the person or the results that they're seeing. So it's just, you know, one kind of spiteful attack after the other. So at any rate, my point is that I guess none of our hands are entirely clean in this matter, but I can't just sit here and say, oh, yeah, Dr. Jones is tired of all this, and he's not going to have any cease and desist that I can see. And here, I'm not sure we really got this point on the record, and that is the way we got to consensus on controlled demolition, Kevin, is through a lot of hard work. And finally, people came around. In other words, the original researchers fought the good fight, they stuck with it, and eventually prevailed. And I predict that the same will be true on No Planes and Do, even though it's an early stage.
Well, time will certainly tell. And if that turns out to be the case, then people who will have come to this Madison conference and seen you guys with these ideas will be, you know, one leg up on everybody else. They'll be able to tell our grandchildren about it, which is actually one of the great things about 9/11 Truth. You know, we're participating in history in a really unprecedented way. I don't think there's ever been a situation like this before, where the entire planet was wired in to such a spectacular event.
And it's a grassroots, it's a bottoms-up thing.
That's right, and it's, you know, it's such a shift in worldview for most people when they do figure this out. And so, you know, I think that people should think about, you know, taking an interest in it. People who are sort of hanging back should, you know, think about what, you know, what are you going to tell your grandchildren? What are you going to, you know, how are you going to look back at this 10 years from now? You know, were you on the sidelines when this was going on, or were you actually involved in it? And people who are involved in this honorably are going to look very, very good in retrospect.
Well, Rick is a young person. Give us your insight into the impact of 9/11 on our college generation.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have good results from MIT because everyone here thinks they know everything. However, young people I've met, especially at the high school level, have been extremely open to this, and it definitely opens their eyes to what they're being taught in school. And once they know something like 9/11, they start questioning the teachers in school, like my little brother does. And he gets a rise out of the history teacher and whatnot for basically taking them to task sometimes. So I really think, if one good thing could have come from all this, and I think that it's hard to even say that, is that I think it's forced people to kind of reevaluate their worldview and how the world works. And that's extremely powerful. Like Morgan said, once you figure this all out, you never go back. And and so I think that it's really affecting the kids these days, especially that are seeing it and seeing their rights being taken away, and are, you know, rebelling essentially from this.
Yeah, getting back to that, the fact that your colleagues at MIT think they know everything. Now, how does that work? You know, I don't have much of a sciences education. My dad was an engineer, but, you know, when I started doing this 9/11 truth stuff, I would have engineers come up to me at my little teach-ins at the University of Wisconsin, and they would explain to me calmly these, you know, preposterous things, you know, these ludicrous explanations for what happened to the towers in Building 7, you know, that, oh, well, of course, you know, the jet fuel melted all the steel. It does that, you know, and that's one of the less ludicrous ones. And these are engineers. Oh, I'm an engineer. You know, you're not an engineer. What do you know?
we have some of the captain of disinfo agents here, in fact, in one of the original actual, you know, published journal, quote-unquote, respectable persons was the Tom Eager, the mechanical material science engineer here, and he gives talks about once a year or twice a year to other MIT professors, and they teach classes on stuff, and it's always brought up on how, like, in 2002 when I was taking a mechanics class, we actually had the mechanics teacher tell us why and how the towers fell because of the steel flanges melting and wobbling and all this stuff. So we essentially got indoctrinated, even by our own teachers here, and
They told you that it could fossil fuel fire could melt steel?
Yeah, that was the issue. She was an engineer. She's a I'm not picking on females because Tom Eager is a male, obviously. And there's a bunch of professors throughout MIT that have some sort of 9/11 connection, and they give talks or when they teach classes, the towers falling for a mechanics class is an interesting problem. And they always say the traditional the civil engineer explanation that from that one report from 2002, how basically the steel got really, really, really hot and the metal started to warp and wobble and then it basically crashed down and, you know, complete garbage. But we were taught it right in class. And, like, you know, to a naive student who believes everything the professor says, you nod your head and go, oh, okay, and you walk out and I guess that's how it fell.
Well, you know, after talking to those engineers at my teach-ins, it made me really concerned about even, you know, going into buildings because I, you know, if people like that are building them, are these things going to stand up? You know,
right.
Should I even get on a plane if these engineers are building these things? Is it going to stay in the air?
Well, and they couldn't in this class or in these lectures or talks show a couple of the pictures. For example, on Dr. Judy Wood. Hey, by the way, Kevin, I want to plug my website, and Rick is the webmaster, nomoregames.net, for listeners who want to go read more of Morgan Reynolds and Associates. But right now I'm on drjudywood.co.uk. That's her new address. And there's a couple of pictures here under her Star Wars Directed Energy Weapons or do article, and the first one is my favorite picture of WTC, the North Tower turning to dust, and this is from a helicopter, and you just see the whole tower is turning to dust, and it's shooting out in various directions and going up, and to call this a collapse, or Judy's favorite is the snowball picture where in about the middle of the building, around floors 40 to 50, first of all, the top 60 or so stories are gone. And then there's this massive snowball, and you cannot see great masses of material falling down. So to talk about this as some kind of pancake collapse is absurd just by a 10-second video or a couple of pictures. You got to make observations.
That's true. Who do you believe, me or your own eyes?
Right.
I think it was Groucho Marx that said that. Yeah, those towers were clearly blown to kingdom come, and Judy's metaphor of trees being turned to sawdust from the top down is a good one.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, thanks, Morgan and Rick. It's been good talking to you.
Thanks for having us, Kevin.
Okay, and I look forward to seeing you at the Science of 9/11 conference in Madison, Wisconsin. People can join us there by going to 911scholars.org and checking out the conference. All right.
First weekend in August.
First weekend in August, the
Yay.
3rd and the 5th.
Okay,
see you there.
Thanks.
All right. And see you all next week. Just give us the truth.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over a million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Great host, great topics, free speech at its best. This is We the People Radio Network.